everyone, and welcome to the Smell Podcast. I'm your host, Katie Boateng. This month, join me in a conversation with Mindy Yang, a human-centric sensory designer and consultant, and co-founder and chief engagement officer with the World Taste and Smell Association. In our interview, we talked about her background in the world of taste and smell, how she got involved with the World Taste and Smell Association, and their upcoming annual event, World Taste and Smell Day, held each year on September 14th. We dive into one particular event, the Delicious for All Challenge, which you'll learn all about. Let's jump in and listen to the interview. Hi, Mindy. Welcome to the Smell Podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining. So let's get started by having you introduce yourself to everyone. So who are you? What's your background?
Okay, so my name is Mindy Yang. I'm a human-centric sensory designer and consultant, and I specialize in fragrance, flavored, and functional brands and products.
How did you get involved in that area?
Oh, it's a very long story, but I started actually as a Reiki master, energy healer, and I got into aromatherapy in my early 20s. I was also working in many consumer retail brand sector. So all around brand experience design and synchronization. I went to school for psychology. So all of this, why people do what they do kind of things are fascinating to me. And I'm just a very curious soul, if you will. So basically, from aromatherapy, which was decades ago, I got into fragrance and flavor and very, technical product design, working with nano-encapsulated active ingredients and then on the other end from the consumer side, I got into olfactory art. So I actually was working as an olfactory artist and product designer for all of my 30s, launched some brands. And anyway, so now I'm kind of onto a bigger picture kind of thing with many of the projects that I work on now. Should I tell you a little bit about what I do for a living?
Yeah, I would love to know, what does the day-to-day look like for you in your field?
Well, I have a very unusual approach to work. My work primarily revolves around the niche beauty, wellness, and luxury space. I work with brands such as Chanel, Chandon, retailers like Bergdorf Goodman. I help brands get into brands like Bergdorf. Empathetic and innovative companies that deeply care about the human experience hire me to do things like scent logos and synchronized touch points and wellness programs. I also work in product design, often in the hospitality space for hotels and restaurants around the world. I do amenities and all kinds of weird things like flavor hacking and tasting experiences. My clients include C-suite executives, independent founders, and directors of marketing and often education. I kind of dive deep into their business. I help them come up with innovative products and programs, selling rituals, tasting experiences for VIPs, for influencers and or, distributors and trade shows. I do a lot of strategy work. So strategic solutions through market research. I do a lot of market research and kind of coordinating qualitative and quantitative market research, depending on what they need to help them start, scale, and refine brand value and market positioning.
So that sounds fascinating. It sounds like your whole career, but particularly now, is very focused on both the senses of smell and taste.
Yes. And this is kind of how the World Taste and Smell Association was so, such an important thing to me. And in addition to that, just to add another layer to my weird life, kind of fun though, we also have, so I grew up in New York City, but now I'm in the Hudson Valley and we host a regenerative farm where we live. We have 54 acres and we serve as a center for sustainability wellness research with food forests, specialty mushrooms, plant medicines. So going back to a lot of things that I like to do is learning about the chemical actually the actives and the chemical properties of nature, like plants and medicines that may be coming from mushrooms and indigenous things. So we actually, we're working with a couple of indigenous communities, and we are also learning about preserving and kind of growing rare indigenous plants here.
That sounds amazing. I am curious to hear more about the World Taste and Smell Association. I'm slightly familiar with it from the last couple of years, but for the audience who's listening now who may not know about it, can you tell us what is the World Taste and Smell Association firstly, and then maybe dive into how did you get involved?
Sure. So I'm actually one of two co-founders of the World Taste and Smell Association. We were informally formed during the pandemic when millions lost their taste and smell, really senses of taste and smell. Last year, we formally became a 501c3 nonprofit. We are currently 100% full, all volunteers, fueled mm-hmm. by volunteers, and also sponsors, thankfully. But we're very passionate about sharing the science because we have noticed that there's a very siloed approach to the world of taste and smell. The perfume, the perfumers don't really talk to the flavorers, even in a giant house like, the IFFs of the world. So, they're very separate departments. And now we have amazing science being shared through the GCCR and other interesting organizations are unifying research, and also through the advent of, the internet. We are speaking all the time. We have amazing communities that are able to really, serve as a catalyst to innovation by having more available information. However, it's not that available to the media, and it's not that available to the general consumer. Mm-hmm. And we see that as kind of an issue. So we want to have a kind of a gathering place where we can unify the world of taste and smell under one umbrella against three pillars: innovation, advocacy/support around people that are experiencing taste and or smell loss, because that is actually very underrepresented. And we talk about this in a weird way. Like, I like to use depression as an example. Few people knew that they suffer from depression a few decades ago. When I was growing up, when you're down, you're just down. You do things, or you get really, really down and people just know to leave you alone. But right. Now we know that the number is staggering. About 7% of the US population ages 18 and older experience depression. And this is stats by WHO. Now, back to taste and smell loss. We know 1 out of 8 people in their 40s experience taste and smell loss. This number increases to 1 out of 3 above the age of 65.
Right.
According to National Institute of Deafness and Other Communication Disorders, the NIDCD, an estimated number of 20% of people worldwide experience taste or smell loss, even if it's just temporary.
Right.
Now, going back to what I do for a living and all the people that I interface with on a regular basis, like your beverage directors, your Michelin star chefs, your sommeliers and perfumers, myself included, it was a great fear during COVID when we couldn't, when we worry about getting taste and or smell loss, because if we experience that even for a week, we cannot work.
Right.
We don't know if it will ever come back. And we now also know that a huge percentage of people that have suffered from taste and or smell loss during COVID, or whenever they have COVID, many don't come back, and many of them don't recover fully. Mm-hmm. So it does recover, but then you have parosmia. And as I interface with all these people within trade, within people that I work with, I've also noticed that, when I share my fear and my stories, there's always something in return, meaning someone would always say, oh my gosh, I went through it, or I am so scared, or my husband actually is living with it right now, which means that these stats are not accurate. Which means that until we have a conversation about this and set up a gathering place, a welcome lobby, if you will, or a bridge, people Even the scientists are doing amazing work. People will not have access to real information or each other as support. They will not know what's really going on, and we will have a very slow evolution towards any kind of cure and or empathy or a true representation of what is going on within the world of taste and smell loss.
Yeah, I mean, I find it fascinating. I'm so grateful for people like you who are aware of like the smell dysfunction community, because there's many who are not in your industry. They're not, even though they're surrounded daily by smell, from my viewpoint, for whatever reason, they don't think about the opposite end of being able to lose it until it directly affects them. And so if COVID did anything good, I think it was raising awareness about the fact that you can lose your sense of smell and taste. And for some people that it's not coming back, which is extremely concerning. So it's just a fascinating conversation. And I hear you about being an organization completely volunteer run. Podcast listeners will know that I reference my affiliation with Stana, and it's another completely volunteer run organization. So shout out to all of us doing this work for this community.
Yes. And I was actually brought in originally when we were informal by Jennifer Trackman. So
yeah.
Now, so this is kind of how we are all tied in. She, you know, she wanted us to have this conversation and this bridge with, you know, the media and the general consumer. And for me, it was, you know, it was a no-brainer, because there is a stigma. God forbid you're a som or a perfumer or someone like me who, you know, completely lose, you know, taste and or smell, or even like what is completely, right? A week seems like a really long time,
right,
when I'm suffering from allergies or something. And there's so many reasons why you can suddenly have a taste or smell loss. It can be as, it could be allergies. It can be something physical, like a physical injury, like a head injury. It can be diabetes. It can be a sinus infection or
right,
cancer and chemo. There are so many people that experience not just smell loss, but, you know, taste distortions. And parosmia is not even a word to most people.
Exactly.
It's a new word to me. And without ever experiencing it, it's very difficult for other people to feel empathy. And this is why we really think that it's important for us to have a conversation to remove the stigma and to have kind of a platform for support.
Absolutely. So the World Taste and Smell Association does something every year that I want to talk about. It's the World Taste and Smell Day, and it's held in September. So I believe it's September 14th of each year. Yep. So how did that day come about, and what are the goals of the day?
Well, it actually started with Jennifer and Dr. Chen in China, which is out of a hospital. And they were having a conversation during COVID, the pandemic, and said, why is there no day that honors taste and smell under one umbrella that is not really just all about the loss, right? Because you have anosmia awareness day, but anosmia is not parosmia. So there are so many specific days, but what if we have something that's a little bit like lifestyle, you know, that's more inclusive, that everybody can get on board with, which apparently is a little confusing. So we needed to kind of refine why we're doing these activities. So, you know, the beauty of having such a universal umbrella is that it's very easy for all kinds of people to get on board. So
right.
On the, you know, this year, we're starting to get all the programs under the events category on our website. So you can go to tasteandsmell.world. And under the events tab, you'll be able to see so many events. I mean, our goal is to have something like 20, 25 events around the world. Currently, we're looking on track. And there are so many that haven't been programmed yet, but you have podcasts that you can listen to, and, you know, this would be one of them. You have free smell tests happening in hospitals. You have retailers that are coming on board to do fundraising events for us and with us. We have Soho House in Nashville, with a partner of a great advocate and someone who's also newly on board with our Delicious for All and culinary panel the Coalition of Culinary Experts. She's a chocolate somm. So she's going to be doing like a chocolate experience, tasting experience at Soho House Nashville. We are working with Harney Tea. We are working with so many different people just to talk about taste and smell in fun ways, but then also around loss. There are many educational moments and clinical moments. And Monel is hosting something. OVR is doing an Instagram live for us, which is they're digitizing scents and using virtual reality goggles, and they're gonna do kind of like a spotlight on taste and smell and how that affects, you know, innovation and what they're doing. So lots of different kinds of events to tap into, because we want to be able to have an entry point for all kinds of audience, whether you're experiencing loss or not.
Mm-hmm. I think that sounds amazing. And again, it's just coming back to the fundamental need to raise awareness about the importance of both of these senses, because they should be celebrated for those who have them, and they should be investigated further for treatment options for all the distortion or loss folks like myself, to hopefully be able to smell again one day. I mean, that's the goal for those who have the loss. And I think this sounds really cool. So let's dive into one particular event. You mentioned it. I believe it's called Culinary for All. Did I get that right?
Delicious for All.
Okay. Sorry about that. So yeah, the Delicious for All event. Can we discuss that in a little bit further detail? What is that specifically?
Yes. So Delicious for All is a culinary challenge that is going to be kicking off on September 14th. So it's not just a single day event. We're actually making this a unifying vehicle of support, if you will. It's just kicking off on that day, and there are going to be 2 months worth of entry time for this year. What is Delicious for All? It's a culinary challenge that is designed to redefine what inclusive means in dining, because we believe to be truly inclusive, we need to consider biology and biography, not just like gender or race or things like that. So physical abilities, culture, and one's life experience really come into play around the very subjective, and the perception of smell and flavor. You know, they're very, very subjective depending on where you grew up, what you ate as a child, or how you're feeling now, mm-hmm. right? And as we get older, we tend to like mushier foods, and some people will never like spices, whether they have, you know, parosmia or anosmia or not, even though that may serve as an exciting thing to, you know, to their palate. So by putting together unifying platform to gather culinary experts, and I'm talking about three Michelin star, you know, Michelin star chefs, certified master chefs, which is a really, really high honor, award-winning beverage directors, getting just somms and basically people that are like experts in flavors, in the same room as scientists, as anthropologists and historians, so that we are taking culture and basically the biography into consideration as we explore recipes that will be curated and shared as a free vehicle of support, meaning like a body of resource on our line, online, so digital. Mm-hmm. So the goal is to have a free, accessible, curated guide of different recipes that can help everyone have a more pleasurable meal around the table. So for all doesn't mean this recipe is going to be delicious for everyone. It means we're going to have dishes that are delicious around the table, whether you have, you know, whether you have sensory distortion, taste and smell loss or not, which means they're going to be main dishes, savory dishes, beverages, alcoholic and none, and desserts. And everything is going to be crowdsourced from our experts as well as the general public. And we will be awarding some favorite recipes, you know, by some of our very well-known chefs and beverage directors after they actually test them out. And then, you know, we will do taste tests with people that are experiencing anosmia and parosmia so that it's properly categorized and tagged. So if you are, you know, within, if you're in the lost category, you can actually pick out which recipes will work better for you theoretically and give us your feedback. So in a way, it's our research to find, you know, a body of recipes that are most delicious for people with their physical abilities taken into consideration. And the goal is once we have a lot of beautiful recipes that everybody is like basically blessed and agree that it's, you know, they're the best of all, next year we may publish a formal cookbook and, you know, and kind of create a new body of work that is shared as a vehicle for support, like I said, for everyone.
That sounds starting really
with holiday season.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds really wonderful to have inclusive recipes, taking into consideration those who have a functioning sense of smell and those who don't or have a distorted one. I think that's a really cool idea. In particular, like I cook daily for my family and myself. And it's just sometimes, for the most part, I just don't really pay attention to the act of cooking because I don't have a sense of smell. So I'm not like taking in the whiffs of the aromas. And like, I don't really know how to explain it. Like I do it as a function of daily life, but I don't do it out of like joy. I think that it would be cool to have this kind of resource where it's like, okay, this one has been tested by people who have dysfunction and they thought it was great. So maybe like I'll get something really cool out of it too. So I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. And that's a goal. And as we have gathered, you know, amazing people like Rachel Hertz with some of our certified master chefs in the same room, we discuss how one of the important judging criteria is how multisensorial the recipe must be, because sensory compensation really comes into play, right? When you're lacking in one thing, but if it's something that's more beautiful or more colorful, or the plating is, you know, extraordinary, I think it's easier for everyone to find joy and, you know, like wonder and fun in this unifying experience around the table. So we are trying to create more entry levels and, you know, for joy and for everyone to really gather around the act of eating. I think it's one of our most instantly, it's like a primal thing. It's not just for nutrition, but of course that matters. This is why fatty taste and or fatty ingredients serve people that are anosmic very well, or even people that are experienced parosmia. So I think it's really important for us to like teach the little tricks along the way to address different sensitivities, because we know the experience of cooking and or eating as someone who's anosmic versus someone who's parosmic. Is it parosmic? Is that how you say it? It's different. It's varied, and there is a spectrum. So what we're trying to understand through this is if we have technical guides on standby that are amazing innovators around culinary techniques and or ingredients, right? And we have anthropologists that may be able to explain wine historians that can kind of give you the romance and the history really as to like why certain things were done, you know, in ancient times and or along the way as we grow. And then we have futurists that will weigh in on their predictions for the future. Can we crowdsource and collaboratively, you know, create this new body of recipes that can help inspire mindfulness, empathy, and innovation? And how cool would it be if this becomes a true catalyst for change?
Yeah, that sounds really great. So can you remind everyone the website that they can go to find out about the Delicious for All event and World Taste and Smell Day on the 14th?
Yes. So our website's tasteandsmell.world, not .com. And there's a lot of information on it. And we are also developing a tool and basically a guide for everyone to enjoy taste and smell. And also there's all kinds of supporting vehicles and resources page for people that are experiencing taste and smell loss. There's also a handy glossary that kind of gives you all these words around what, you know, disorders may be, including people that, like me, I'm actually a super taster. So a super taster, and, you know, some people call me a nose, but because I'm like a super, you know, I'm the opposite spectrum to my co-founder, who's a nosmic. So we basically have someone, you know, we are founded by someone who cannot experience taste and or smell. She's more going into parosmia now. So depending on, you know, because she's been training her nose and trying to get it back for a very long time. And she's so savvy in the space. I know you did an interview with her last year as well.
Yeah.
And for me, so I'm on the opposite spectrum. So it's really cool because we're really able to have active dialogues around what her experience is like versus mine. And as an example, the guide is going to give you wonderful tools around things like the world of tea, because in theory, tea should be something that is nourishing for when you're not feeling well. But I know tea as a category can be potentially challenging for someone who's going through anosmia and or parosmia. And instead of having something that just tastes like hot water and or something that is just not at all pleasurable, there will be some recommendations on around which teas would be good for you if you were fill in the blank. So yeah. We're working on this active body of work for free, and we hope that more people can join us, subscribe to our newsletter, stay in touch, host events to help us, you know, spread the news and spread the word, participate in Delicious for All, or donate and sponsor us so we can continue to do the work that we do.
That's wonderful. Do you have any last things that you'd like to add about World Taste and Smell Association or World Taste and Smell Day?
Not really. I think that was pretty comprehensive, and I really appreciate, you know, your time and for interviewing me today. I think it's a really exciting topic. We need to have a conversation, and new information is being, you know, birthed regularly, and we look forward to learning and sharing together. And it's really important for everyone, even if they're already a part of another nonprofit or a part of a clinical trial or some kind of study, to come in. And, you know, we're open doors and neutral because we want to have people give us their, you know, share their experiences and give us your feedback so we can work towards something that is immediately applicable for everyone.
That's great. Well, I want to say thank you for coming on the Smell Podcast today. Thank you for sharing all about World Taste and Smell Day coming up on September 14th. Make sure you all go check out the website, which I'll include in the episode notes. But just thank you for coming on today, Mindy.
Thank you, Katie. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Thank you to Mindy for joining me on the podcast and sharing her stories about why taste and smell are so important. Make sure to go and check out World Taste and Smell Association's upcoming events on their website, including their annual event, World Taste and Smell Day, on September 14th, and the Delicious for All Culinary Challenge. I'll include a link to their site in the episode notes. Thanks for listening to the podcast. I really hope you enjoy it. The goal of the show is so that you know you are not alone. If you found it helpful to you in any way, please consider sharing it with someone else, like a friend or a family member. Thanks for your continued support. Until next time, have a wonderful day.